we're spending a few weeks, like Lauren said, we're almost to Lent, and I'm going to commend that Lenten study to you. Go out and check it out. It's actually available online. You can get the link and start reading. We've had fun as pastors and staff writing that this year, so let me commend that to you. Consider, Barbara Miner and I are going to be teaching a Wednesday group. There's lots of small groups, so let me commend that to you this morning. We're starting our journey toward Lent, and as we do this, as we're making these last weeks, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in the here and now, what it means to have this kingdom present in the present moment. Now, when I say kingdom of God and we sing it in songs, it might not be something that you say in sentences every day. It may not be that you have this conversation with your partner or your spouse about the kingdom of God, but we're bringing this to the forefront now because it's something that we should think about. It's something that we're called to. It's something that we're not just looking to it expectantly when we die and join the saints in heaven, but it's something that's inbreaking. It's something that's going on now. And Pastor Lauren started us so well with this new series last year, the series that speaks of the kingdom of God in the here and now. And as we talk about this, like I said, you might not think about it like or say the words kingdom of God every day, but I want you to think of what you know about the kingdom of God. And as you think about what you know about the kingdom of God, what does this kingdom look like to you? What does it look like to you? If you were to say the kingdom of God and Lauren moved to say Jesus ushered in this kingdom that is present in the here and now, what does that look like? What does it look like? And we're going to be in a conversation a little bit about this, and I want to hear maybe from you. I invite you to contact me or talk to me about it, what it looks like. But think in your head, if you had to explain it to one of our fifth graders downstairs, the kingdom of God in the here and now, what it looks like, how you know it when you see it, how would you explain it to that fifth grader? Think about it. I want you to hold that thought, those words perhaps, that vision of the kingdom for the kingdom of God right now in our year 2025, and let's come back to it. Just kind of bookend that, and let's come back to it. In our present context, I know some people came in this morning, they said, man, it's cold, and it's been cold. It has been cold over the past few days. It's been a cold winter, honestly. But I hear there's a warming trend this week. There's some good news that's coming from the sermon. The weather forecast is going to get a little bit warmer. But when I think about warm and the contrast between warm and cold that we've been in, one of the things I long for, honestly, is I'm longing for a little bit of spring and summertime. How about you? Are you longing for that? Like, the weather's going to go, yeah. Somebody's wanting to applaud. Yes. There's just something, you know, there's something about the time of year. And I was talking about this with my kids. I was away last weekend with my family, and we were talking about summertime memories. My son has acquired my dad's old boat, and he's fixing it up. And so it took us to stories about that old boat. That's the boat I grew up on that my son has. And I was telling him stories about just, you know, warm weather, being on the boat, diving off the boat, swimming off the boat, skiing off the boat, fishing off the boat, and how the stories of those warmer seasons and the things that we do in the warmer seasons often take us to water. And how much fun, like it reminded within me how much fun it is to be in and near the water. So I wanted to pause right here for a minute and take you on a little bit of summer vacation. So let's take a look. Doesn't this look great? Let's take a look at some images of being near or by the water. These are ones that Alexis pulled for us this morning. Walking along a lake or a riverbank, looking out on the ocean. Aren't these great? They're dressed warm there. In the water, like one of my funnest things to do is to be in the water. We got a couple more. Near it, on a dock. That looks like fall season. Even in sweater weather, it's great. Streams. You can hear the flow of the baptismal font back here this morning, our font. There's nothing like it. just kind of takes you to another place, right? So you come to church and you have this little mini vacation this morning of thinking about it. Like, for me, there's nothing like just going for a swim or perhaps being in some calm water like this, or maybe like gentle waves and just floating on the back. Water cleanses us. Water refreshes us. We long for it. We're drawn to it. There's something intrinsic in who we are that pulls us to that, not just the warmth, but to the water. To the water itself, the way we're made. It speaks to who we are, our bodies, just even the drink of water. And I think we have an image of someone. So it's like what that does for you when you're thirsty. We're made for this quenching, to be near it, to be immersed in it. And all the images of water and the thought of water, it speaks to our spiritual self. Like, we're wired, of course, as you see that guy drink the glass of water, we're wired to live through water, right? But we're also drawn to it. We're drawn to the waters of baptism. We have our baptismal font front and center, right? We've got some images of baptisms taking place here in our church, a couple images. We're drawn to it. We're reminded of what it does for us. The symbol of baptism. Our liturgy and the hymnal, and the old liturgy of the hymnal, it reminds us about this water that we begin in water. We're nurtured in the water of the womb, the liturgy says. And it says God's people are then led to freedom through water. They're led to freedom through the sea. The image of water. Water is symbolic to us for our life and faith. And that brings so much. It brings life. You can see it here, this beautiful baptism. It brings freedom. And it brings the inherited promises of God. Water, all these things. And more. You can add to this list. That symbol of water as life. Our text today, both of them, you heard from the Old Testament and the New Testament, they take us to the water. They take us to say something about what I told you to think about in the kingdom of God, but they bring us to the riverbank in vision of what God does as we connect to this powerful symbolism of water. The prophet Ezekiel is having this vision of a grand river, and we're going to talk about that river. And then John has this vision of another river that is for all eternity, very much in the presence of God. Pastor Lauren talked about how in the vision of what God is unfolding, we're actually anointed. Another image of water or something coming over us. We're anointed to do the work of Christ. You'll see on screen, and we'll leave this up for a few minutes. This is a vision of Ezekiel's vision of water, and we're going to talk about this. So we'll just hold that one right there for a minute. But Pastor Lauren talked about anointing. And when Jesus began his ministry, he was anointed by the Spirit. This is after he enters the waters of baptism himself. And Jesus is anointed to be good news, right? To bring this good news to the poor in our world. And Lauren said, to upend things. Jesus upends things, to give good things to the poor and to turn the rich away empty. The prophet Isaiah says that as we read it last week. And Jesus, it comes from the words of Jesus as Jesus reads this kingdom of plenty for those that are lacking, of where there's enough. And this kingdom advances justice and righteousness and good news. Today we're given information of this kingdom from a little bit different vantage point. So we're going to be looking at it from the banks of this river that you see on screen here. This is an artist's rendition of Ezekiel. We're going to spend some time with that Old Testament text. And sometimes in church when you say Ezekiel, people go, oh, that's complicated. That's a complicated book of the Bible. But we're going to take this little piece from chapter 47 and we're going to, I think, really come to something that will seem pretty simple to you and make a lot of sense. And it's about this river. And the reading that we heard from Isaiah 47 speaks of a great river, beginning at kind of the uppermost part of the Holy Land and streaming down a place, beginning at a place called Arabah, and streaming down to the Dead Sea. The river, Ezekiel says, it begins with a trickle, kind of like our fountain up here. It begins just trickling, and then it moves in power. Isaiah is encountering it. I mean, Ezekiel is encountering it in his vision, and he starts by getting in this river kind of in his ankles, and it goes up to his knees, and then he gets to the point where it's rushing to the point that he's kind of afraid to swim through it. And it moves all throughout the land, and it gets to the portion of that land where everything is dead and that salty Dead Sea. And what the vision through God tells us is as this river moves from the temple of God, where God is dwelling in and through the whole land, that life begins to spawn. And so that's what you see in this artist's rendition. Life unlike anything that you see in Israel. This amazing river with big trees on the riverbank and lots of swarms of fish. And that even in the deadest of space, which is the Dead Sea, you see this. You see stuff sprouting up, these fruit trees, this lushness, and all these fish. Isaiah puts it this way. He says, wherever the river goes, I think we have this for the screen. You can go ahead and switch. Yeah. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes, from chapter 47, verse 9. So what we hear in this imagery is this flowing of this river, and as this vision, which can be complicated when we think about the book of Isaiah, as this vision unfolds, this river's Jesus. Isaiah, because we were talking about Isaiah last week and I was listening to Lauren. Ezekiel, y'all help me. Ezekiel is seeing what's going to happen in his vision with the coming of Christ. What Lauren talked about from the prophet Isaiah and from the voice of Jesus last week. So Ezekiel is seeing this as he's guided through a vision that everything that Christ touched becomes new and fresh and alive. And more than that, there's abundant life. There's swarms of fish, even in the dead spaces. All this comes together as we see Jesus moving from the heart of God. That's the temple in the vision. And so from the heart of God, flowing through the tough places, flowing through where things are dead, life is born. Where the kingdom of Christ is, where it flows, things are made fresh, renewed, restored, and full of life abundant. This is a reality. This is what we're being told as Ezekiel is anticipating the coming of Jesus. So this is what Jesus does. When we think of this kingdom, I ask you to vision it. Whatever Jesus touches, there comes a renewal. There comes a restoration. There comes life, even in the deadest spaces. So when this prophet is speaking about and writing about this vision, you can imagine how crazy that sounded. If you've ever seen the Dead Sea or been there, you know there's not much life there in and around that area, right? But this vision says, oh, it will be like this river flowing from the heart of God. And as the river flows, everything's going to be transformed. And there's going to be life. Lauren talked about this turning, this flow of grace that turns us, right? That in the call of Christ in this kingdom, we're called to be a part of this transforming work. That's kind of where her sermon was last week. It's Jesus was anointed to be good news. We too, she said, are called to be builders of this kingdom, to be part of, if you will, a flow of grace in the world. Jesus connects to this mission and this way of speaking in his own ministry. The Gospel of John, Jesus puts it this way. Let's look at the text from John. Jesus says, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, he said this about the Spirit which believers in him will receive. And just before this, Jesus calls everyone to him. He says, if there's anyone thirsty, come to me, because I will give you living water. And then Jesus says, out of us, out of believers, then there will flow rivers of living water. That's us. We're a part of what Jesus is doing in quenching the thirst of the world. That's powerful, isn't it? Through the work of the Spirit. And so Ezekiel, way back in the Old Testament, gets a vision of what Jesus realizes in his ministry and what Jesus hands to us, the believers in Christ. Our relationship to this living water causes a movement of grace, and that movement of grace is a healing movement. So when you're part of the kingdom of God, when you're working in concert with what Christ calls you to do and be in the present, in the here and now, you're part of a healing movement, okay? That's a healing movement. In our relationship with Jesus, the one who offers living water, we are a part of a healing movement, a movement of grace, where the essence of this is tangible. This is back to your question. What does the kingdom of God look like to you? How would you describe it to a fifth grader? This movement of grace, I think about so many times with my kids and my nieces and youth groups over the years. I've gone tubing. Anybody like to go tubing on the river? Right. And you go where that river goes, right? When you're on the tube, you're, and if there's not much water, then you hit the rocks, right, with the tube. And that's not a fun tubing trip. But you move in concert with the river. In the tangible ways that we know this, when we see the kingdom of God, Paul speaks of this. And I think we take it lightly as we've studied the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But we know the kingdom of God when we see those fruit of the Spirit. Did you hear Ezekiel's vision that there'll be these fruit trees along that river? And that they'll be feeding, the fruit is renewed every month, and the leaves on the trees are for healing. The fruit of the Spirit. When you see the tangible presence of Christ, you see these things. Let's read them together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul adds, there's no law against any of these things. This is the stuff of the kingdom of God, right here. You know it when you see it. You're moved with it and by it. When you move into spaces where there is love, joy, peace, generosity, you feel it. It's attractional. When someone embodies these things, you want to hang out with them. You know, when somebody's inherently kind, you don't go like, oh gosh, here she comes, she's so kind, right? No, you enjoy, you enjoy that conversation, right? You enjoy being in the presence of someone who does exhibit self-control, someone who is gentle, someone who has a peace about them, even when their world seems rocked. I have encountered so many of these saints over the years, where I look at their situation and go, man, you've been through so much, but yet they have this peace, as the scripture says, that surpasses my ability to understand sometimes. Only see it from God. These are the signs of the kingdom. And in revisiting the scripture from Ezekiel, the vision from Ezekiel, which meshes with that vision from Isaiah last week, what I realized is as Jesus flows through things, the river, the one who says, come to me if you're thirsty and you won't thirst anymore. When Jesus flows through things, not everybody chooses to be touched by that. Ezekiel mentions this. When you look at it closer, I went back and read just a little bit beyond where our reading started today in 47, and I picked up at 47:11. So let's look at this, because it's interesting. Let's see. That is a little bit of it. Let's see. Their leaves went up. Okay, do we have before this, like a slide before this? If not, yeah, here we go. This is the slide before it. It says, its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. And it's talking about the dead part. So the flow of Christ, that Dead Sea is the imagery that Ezekiel uses. He says, as Jesus flows through there, there's some swamps and marshes that will not become fresh. They will be left for salt, he says. And then he goes back to the vision of restoration and healing on the banks at both sides of the river that will grow all kinds of trees for food. Now you can flip the slide. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. Just this beautiful vision of what we, kind of like the artist's vision we saw. But it's important to note that there's still some swamp and marsh out there. There's some spaces in our existence in the here and now and back in Ezekiel day and Jesus day of where things don't move with the stream of grace. The river that brings healing passes it. Can you think about that in our current sort of situation, maybe yours? Do you know some people that kind of are sitting in a dead space? Or maybe in the brine of things, they're salty, right? Do you know someone that's a little bit too salty? It's not that the call of Christ doesn't move around them and through them or in situations. It's not that. It's that there's a choice for them to sit right where they are. Now, I say they, you hear me saying they, but I have to admit, sometimes it's us that sits there. Sometimes it's us, the believers, that get a little bit too salty. We sit there and we go, oh, I'm not changing with you, Jesus. All those fruit of the Spirit are great, but I'm doing what I'm doing right now. In our stubbornness, in our failure to move with the tide, if you will, the tide of all that Jesus brings and all the healing and transformation. Because the people that Ezekiel is speaking to in his day, they have a sense of hopelessness. There's devastation all about. The whole vision, if you read the whole thing, it's speaking about restoration. This is where we see flesh come on to dry bones, all that stuff with Ezekiel, right? In today's context, there are places that are really dry and salty, the marshes and the swamps. And part of our calling is to not stay in those spaces. We might end up there on our saltiest days, on the days when we're discouraged, on the days when there's that flow of the tide into the marsh, pulls us down and it wants to devour us. But in the way we're wired in the grace and in our attraction toward this water that feeds us and nourishes us and cleanses us, it's always calling to us. The flow of all that good. So if you're in a space going, man, I am just sitting in the salty right now. I'm just sitting in the brine of it all. It feels like I'm in a marsh and it's like just so dead around me. Know that there's a river that flows by you. And that's Jesus calling. And if you say, I don't know where that is. Pastor, you tell me to vision this kingdom of God and I don't know what it looks like in 2025 in this new year that we're in. Then look for it. You have to, because you're wired to want it. Like I said, it's attractional. Then look for it. You might be needing the space of where you can find someone that embodies a bit of that fruit that Ezekiel and Isaiah speak to that are a part of the kingdom of God. Where do I see love, peace? Where do you see these things? Where do you see them? Is there a group of people? Is there an individual that you say, man, he's so kind. He's full of joy. I don't get it. He's going through some of the same stuff as I, but I see it. Maybe you need to be in conversation with that person. Maybe you need to place yourself in spaces where you can be healed, where the cleansing nature of Christ can move over you and through you. Remember, the vision is, even in the dead spaces, life comes and life abundant. And in the here and now, not just for the future someday, but in the here and now. Sometimes we got to take steps toward it. And the neat thing about the flow of this in this vision is it changes us too. Because when you get around and you soak up the good stuff, you kind of let that brine rinse off you, then people start to see that in you. They start to see those elements of Christ's Spirit at work, that stuff that's supposed to flow from the hearts of us believers, and then that becomes something that somebody else might have a question about or see in you. How can you be this way in the journey that you're going through? Well, it's because of the grace of Christ. It allows us to then embrace a deeper vision of what God is doing, not just in the world, but in us, right? In us. In the early church, there were groups of men and women that were called out into the desert in about the 3rd century time. And in some ways, I think they were trying to escape some of the stuff going on, some of the marshy and brine stuff. So they pulled away to do spiritual practices out in the desert, the northern parts of Egypt, around Sinai, all around, even around the Dead Sea. And they're called, if you read about them, the desert fathers and mothers, Ammas and Abbas of the faith. And what they did out there in the desert became the early parts of establishing monasticism, which has influenced a lot of faith practices across denominations, very positive ways over the years. Well, these very wise leaders, as they prayed and pulled apart to practice the faith, sometimes the younger members of community would come to these fathers and mothers and they would ask questions. And so there was this one father, his name was Abba Anthony. Some people call him Anthony the Great. And Anthony was sitting one day in the desert and a young monk came to him. He came up and he said, "Abba Anthony, I'm having a really hard time with this kingdom of God stuff. Like, I just can't see it. Where, Abba, where is the kingdom of Christ? Where is the kingdom of Christ right now? I'm having trouble with my vision and seeing it." Abba Anthony paused. He looked at this young monk, and then he pointed at him, and he said, "The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you." And I think that's still true. It's wisdom. This kingdom, it flows. It flows by us and through us. It's in the world. It's in people in the space right now, whether you're here or worshiping with us online. It's through the community of believers. It flows through our hearts, but it's also within us. This transformation of Christ building a kingdom, what Lauren talked about last week, and then us becoming builders of a kingdom resides within us. And so there's an active requirement for us to move with this. You might say, "Oh, you're asking me to do something." What you may need to do right now is to just be influenced by this flow, this movement of grace, this kingdom that is around you. If you're feeling that you're in that dead, salty space, then you just need to kind of think of the water imagery. Wash it off and then soak up the good stuff. And then those of us that are on more stable ground, those of us that can vision hope, that can see where Christ is moving in and through all, then it's our responsibility to live into all that fruit, to help point the way. You know, if somebody's stuck, I remember on one of those tubing trips I had, I think my niece was 12, and she got stuck over on some rocks in some low water. You know what I did? Is I paddled over there and helped her get unstuck, and we went on down the river. That's the work of Christ. That's our call in the midst of our context in the here and now. And that joins so beautifully with where we're ultimately headed. And that was our second reading for today. That vision of John, same river, same God. That is a time when nothing is passed by, when there'll be no more marsh. There'll be no more swamp. There'll be no more influence of sin. That's what John is talking about in that river that flows from the temple of God in heaven. It's when it all comes together. All the tears are washed away. All that brine is gone. We're in the space of the here and now and the not yet to that. Many theologians have said that. But that doesn't push pause and say, "Well, it's just turned really bad everywhere and everybody's just so salty about everything. I'm not going to lean into the life of my faith." No, we got work to do in the here and now, whether it's healing our own hearts or moving and leaning into all that fruit. It's a both and. It's like We're anticipating that day. Sometimes you long for home. You're anticipating that day when God will set all things right, when justice will roll down all the things that the prophets tell us. But yet, when we look really closely, we see God at work in the present moment. And we're called to be a part of that movement in the here and now. Let's bring back up that picture of that river. Where the dead swarms with life. Where there are trees that heal and fruit that just continues to nourish. This is our journey. This is our journey in the present moment. Yeah, on the edges, there's some marshy places. There's some brine. There's some swamp. And you might find yourself caught up in some rocks there on any given day. What you got to do is look for somebody that will help navigate you out of there. Because knowing the call of Christ leads you into spaces like this, ultimately. That's our destination. And I hope that this reminds you today, all this water imagery, all this river talk, of your baptism. So I'm going to ask the band to begin to move up as we get ready to close. And as you think about the gifts that you have in baptism through Christ, I want you to think about that movement of your baptism within you in the here and now. And if you're listening or you're here in the room and you're not baptized, your pastors are always glad to talk about baptism. So it's a great conversation wherever you are in your faith journey as I talk about baptism. If you're not, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I know Lauren or our other pastors would as well. But if you have claimed that promise of baptism to be a part of a new kingdom that flows through the harshness of life, then I want you to be reminded of it today. We brought the baptismal font forward. As you exit today, there are also bowls of water in the back. And for those worshiping online, I ask you, find a glass of water, a cup of water, a bowl of water, and sometime before you leave this place today, touch the water. Be reminded of how it nourishes and heals us. Our baptism sets us free. Our baptism moves us beyond the saltiness of the world into the goodness and grace of Christ. And that's a gift. That's a gift. No matter where you are, you might be thinking, I need to dump that thing over my head today because I really need to wash some salt off. And I think that's a good space to be reminded of the gift you have in Christ on any day. And so I hope that when you see water, when if you are, you know, going to see the Potomac or the Anacostia or the Rappahannock or, you know, the stream behind your house or the flow of water from your shower or your sink, that maybe in the days to come when things are hard, that as you see that water, you pick up that cold cup that you've just got out of your fridge, you know, little stream, that you vision what you're a part of, that it will remind you every time you touch and see water over the next maybe days and weeks, maybe forever, that you're reminded of what you're given in Christ. And that the flow of His grace, folks, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. And at the end of that flow is life in fullness. Thanks be to God.